When I was growing up, now I've asked my own kids this. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I have an 11-year-old daughter. I have a 7-year-old son. I've asked my oldest kids, do you know the troubled kids? Do you? So this is the Marty Griffin theory and all this stuff. Notice we haven't talked about the NRA. Notice we haven't talked about gun control, magazine, cartridge size. Because I realize that the men who run those industries are never going to act like adults in the room. They're always going to push a stock price. Oliver North made that very clear. Do you have his sound tea by chance from the other day? Oliver North? Is she in there? Do you have Oliver North from the other day? I didn't play this the other day, and she grabbed this for me. It'll kind of underline why I'm totally disregarding what the Texas governor has to say, what U.S. senators have to say, what the president has to say, what the NRA has to say. I've checked out on those people. It's going to be up to us. It just is. We're going to have to manage it from a grassroots level, from our homes, from our couches, from our church pews, from our neighborhoods, not theirs. To hell with them. They want to sell their guns, sell their guns. You want to buy 14 ARs and put them on mounts around your house, knock yourself out. I ain't saying nothing about it. That's going to be on you. If you decide, I saw a Facebook post this morning where a guy said, boy, those, see how much those gun-free zone signs help? That's the level of intellect you're dealing with, that there are actual Americans out there who believe that the reason why all of these students are dead is because of gun-free signs, signs on a post. That's as simple as it gets. I will not change their minds. I have no interest. I want you to understand it's up to us. That's it. We have to do this. We have to make a difference in our communities. We have to force our leaders to lead rather than cowering, coming up with ridiculous studies to suggest that metal detectors don't work. Next plan. And when I hear the rhetoric from certain types that we need more guns in schools, I'm not arguing with those folks anymore. That's not normal thinking. That's not adult thinking. That's terrorism training. We're changing our culture to, we believe the best solution to a country with the most school shootings in the world needs more guns. I'm not doing that with you folks. That's going to be on you. All I always ask you folks to do is ask a teacher what they think about carrying a gun along with the thousandth other things they have to do during the day to worry about going to the gun range so that if some student acts up, their gun isn't stolen and used on them, or they don't actually shoot themselves, which has happened, or a student accidentally, which has also happened. But you go ahead with that. We're going to deal with this as adults, and it starts on the couch with us talking to our kids. I got to read this again because Glenn nailed it for me in the last hour. Marty, and I'm reading it again because I think this is important. This guy gets it. He gets it the same way I get it. He gets it the way most of you folks get it. The metal detectors are definitely needed in schools. However, this is just another Band-Aid to the problem. What will the next do? Start shooting up school buses? By the way, this is retired cop Ray's theory. Retired cop Ray suggests that the plan is they'll just move somewhere else. The problem will not go away until we get help for teens who are emotionally and mentally impaired. Social media is the root of the problem, where parents need to be more aware of their own child's actions. Family structure has been crippled by social media. Makes the heart ache. But so I can do something about that. I can, my wife can. We are already lobbying in a kind, professional way. Our leaders in our district, and we have leaders. We have a great school district. We have a great community. We're going to make it better. We're going to provide more security for my kids. I'm going to get selfish here. I'm going to make certain that my kids aren't killed in school. I don't think that's asking a lot. If it's money, we'll raise it. If it's philosophy, we'll change it with facts and figures and experts. If it's support, we'll get it. I'm not calling a U.S. senator asking him to change gun laws. Might as well talk to our turtle, Fred. We have a turtle, Fred. Fred would get more accomplished. Mary in Bethel Park, good morning. Thanks for your patience.
You're welcome. This problem that we're having in the schools isn't new. It's old. My son dealt with that 20 years ago in the Bethel Park School District. If it wasn't for my husband to go up and stand up for him, he probably would have had an issue. But because he stood up for him, then it worked. The boy who hit him, and my son did hit him back, he was going to be left go because his father was a lawyer, okay? But my husband said, well, if my son's being punished, then he should be punished, okay? I think this needs to be started at the school board, the superintendent, the principals, and down to the teachers to stand up to these parents. It does start in the home.
By the way, Mary's talking about it. Mary, the politics of this, boy, you nailed it. The politics of this ridiculousness in these individual school districts hasn't changed in 20 years. You're still fighting a political culture that says, protect this kid. His daddy's a big shot.
Yep. Exactly.
She's right.
Exactly. And, you know, I had teachers, when my children were in school there, say to me, we can't touch these children who don't behave in school because they come back with, my mommy's a lawyer, my daddy's a lawyer, so the teachers back off. That's wrong. I feel if you can't handle your child and they don't behave in school, then they need to be thrown out.
But now, Mary, I got to tell you, they're trying to embed kids. They're trying to put kids in the system so that they learn to adapt in the system. In fact, the philosophy is counterculture to what you just said. The philosophy is to mainstream kids. The philosophy is quit suspending kids. Quit kicking kids out of school. Work with them. Hug them in school, literally. Tell them they're good people. Keep them in the classroom and fight it there, which creates a whole new dynamic for teachers and students just trying to get through the day. It ain't easy. And so as we talk about this 10 dead kids in Santa Fe, Texas, this young man's father who did the shooting says his son was bullied, which is not surprising. It doesn't wash his hands of this, but it points an underlying darkness in our school system where tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids are bullied daily. And it's painful, folks. How do we fix it? 866-391-1020 next. One thing you can't do, and look, you know, I'm a parent in progress. I always get frustrated with, and T knows this, with the perfect mother, the perfect children that calls in here. Well, my children all went to Harvard, Marty. They all have charities. They all run free clinics, and they all had straight A's. Yeah. I don't understand why these kids lash out. You know, I'm a train wreck that is kept on the tracks by a foundation taught to me by my mother and father, a work ethic and a commitment to family, and a wife that is a sick, phenomenally amazing person. And our mantra is to make certain that we talk to our kids as much as we can, but I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I've seen kids die. I've sat with the parents whose kids have killed themselves. I've done interventions for kids hooked on methamphetamine and cocaine, and I've seen it. I've been to Western Psych and visited folks who have teens struggling with mental illness. So I don't have all the answers, but I think that we personally, rather than worrying about what some U.S. senator or congressman or president's going to do about guns, we have to take responsibility for our kids and engage them. Did you grab Oliver North? Yeah, because this is why I'm done with these people. I'm not gonna fight these folks. This is the new head in the NRA. This is the best he can do following a mass shooting, 10 dead kids at a high school. Listen to Oliver North.
If School Shield had been in place in Santa Fe High School, far less likely that would have happened. The problem that we've got is we're trying like the Dickens to treat the symptom without treating the disease. And the disease in this case isn't the Second Amendment. The disease is youngsters who are steeped in a culture of violence. They've been drugged in many cases. Nearly all of these perpetrators are male, and they're young teenagers in most cases. And they've come through a culture where violence is commonplace. All we need to do is turn on a TV, go to a movie. If you look at what has happened to the young people, many of these young boys have been on Ritalin since they were in kindergarten. Now, I am certainly not a doctor. I'm a Marine. But I can see those kinds of things happening.
So there you have it. Oliver North blames not one word about got to get guns out of these kids' hands. The violent culture, he talks about. Mr. North, the Vietnam War. We killed hundreds of thousands of folks. Hundreds of thousands. We lost 60,000-plus Americans. We had death in the streets. We burned communities because of the violence from that war, sir. And blaming Ritalin. So this is as good as it gets with the adults in the room. Not one comment. And this ridiculous is about this SHIELD program he talks about. That school, Santa Fe, had gone through more than a dozen drills. More than a dozen mass shooter drills. So my point is all you're going to ever hear from these folks, same rhetoric. One side, take all the guns away, guns are evil. Other side, give everybody guns. Sick of both of them. It's up to us. It's on us. Isn't it now? Jim and Aliquippa, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm right down the line with you, but here's where I think the change has to come. And it's in, I got a thing in the mail yesterday. I run a nonprofit. I'm in the trenches. I deal with this stuff routinely. And I got an invitation to another nonprofit who's doing this thing on progressive socialism, you know, and meaning let's keep progressing the way we want. And it struck me really wild. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to progress. I want to regress. And here's where I want to regress to. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Nice.
And so what does that mean? It means get to know them.
Nice.
Respect them.
Nice.
Try to understand where they're coming from.
Nice.
Try to put yourself in their shoes. Go visit with them. Go hang with them. And if you don't have those, go to places where they exist and take the risk of being uncomfortable because you don't quite relate to what they do or how they talk or how they live or what's important to them. And get to know them. And then the step, the critical step, get that into the curriculum, K through 12, because it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. How to treat each other. How to be empathetic. How to get yourself in the mindset of someone who's different than you. We don't teach the kids how to do that. You know, I've been bullied, and I bullied when I was growing up. You know, and I understand both sides of it. And until we have kids who are raised to be empathetic, and guess what? My kids are empathetic. My kids are flawed because I'm a flawed parent who brought them up. But if there's one good thing by God's grace that came through, it was a prayer I prayed for them every day when I dropped them off out of the car. Lord, help us to learn and grow, be kind and loving, a friend to all, and stand up for what's right in the name of Jesus.
Nice,
and
man.
By God's grace,
nice.
They've taken that on for themselves.
Hey, on a real simple level, because you're killing it here, I tell my kids this. I tell everybody this. And I've told T this, and she's the same way. I have a compassion meter. And Jim, if you don't have compassion,
that's good.
Get out of my face. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Go over there and yell and scream. And if we don't have enough people with compassion, we raise kids that are disconnected. It's a great phone call. Really good guy. Man, pragmatic. Hey, Matt. Go ahead, Matt. Appreciate your patience here.
Hey, Marty. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Hey, I congratulate you on the show. This is the first time, and I consider you a middle-of-the-road guy, okay?
Yeah.
Not a conservative, not a liberal. It's the first time any talk about something other than gun control. And your solutions, what you're talking about, is where the solution will come from.
You know what? I had an epiphany about this. Thanks for noticing this. I can yell and scream about guns until I'm dead. And it ain't changing. And you know, what we can do is what we can do with what's right in front of us, Matt. And that's make a difference in our homes and our communities. And that's as good as it's going to get. And that can be pretty darn good if we care enough.
I agree with you. And I hope you start a trend all over, because that's where the solutions are going to come. In full disclosure, I don't own a gun, but I don't believe in any of the gun control laws that have been proposed. You know, I don't believe in any of them. But, yeah, I do believe in what you're talking about.
Thanks, man. Hey, by the way, Matt, I love you. I mean, I've said this before, and I still believe it. If I had a magic wand and I could remove all the guns in the world, put them in a big pile and melt them down, I would do it today, but I can't. So we have to live with what's dealt us, and that's over 300 million guns in a country. 300 million. Folks, text us, if you wish, at 866-391-1020. The text line brought to you by Wright Automotive. It's the best deal in Pittsburgh. Talking about school shootings and bullyings and a dramatic increase in the number of school shootings and the interpersonal relationships that benefit our kids and the disconnect that occurs with so many teens. A lot of folks blame the cell phone. Well, I think if there's 100 factors, it's on the list. But, man, I'm telling you, if a kid falls apart, I'm not blaming a cell phone. If it's my kid, I'm going to have to take a lot of the responsibility. You know, so much of it kind of involves parents today. The disconnect is the cell phone becomes the babysitter. I've actually seen it. I've actually done it. I mean, you want to watch a movie? Here, give your kid the iPad. You want to order something at dinner? Here, give the kid the cell phone. I mean, it's all of us. We have to kind of address these issues. And with older kids, the cell phone becomes their world, and they encase themselves and engross themselves in that world. And what they find are like-minded people. And by the way, this happens with adults as well. You can go into a social media environment and find angry people, happy people, short people, tall people, people who like cheese, people who like apples, people who want to kill massive quantities of people. You can find those groups. You can empower yourself with that, and you can get guns, and you can go and shoot up your school or your business or a house. You can do that, and it happens all the time. It's up to us to not say, hey, I'm going to blame the cell phone. I'm going to take responsibility for myself and make certain that I can somehow engage my kids enough to know that they're at a level where I need to get them help. And I've seen it work both ways. I've seen parents who save their kids' lives by engaging them. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen kids who died before their parents could do enough. And I've seen parents who did everything and still couldn't save their kids' lives. The kids just so much hopelessness. By the way, suicide rate among teens has doubled in 10 years. And anxiety and depression increased by 40% in 5 years. It's astounding. They've never seen anything like it, ever, in this country. Hey, T, what's the name, please, my friend, on the North Hills number at the bottom there? Hey, Barbara, thanks for your patience. Good morning. Lisa, I apologize. Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay, Marty. I'm finding your show so very timely, and you've made so many great comments. I'll just put my two cents worth in, because as you have said so eloquently, this is a problem that has many facets, and there isn't one solution. I think that's why it's so frustrating to hear Oliver North speak as he does, as if there's some easy way to fix this if we just take away the games, the violent games.
And Ritalin. Ritalin. He blamed Ritalin.
Exactly. And that may be a problem. I don't know. This is the problem. There's so much going on. There's so much violence everywhere we look. The Columbine shooting happened when my children were in school. They're grown now. I had mine. I'm your age. I had them a little younger. And I remember when it happened, Marty, I was at a playground. And I remember all the mothers looking around and thinking, please, God, don't let this be the start of a trend. And against all of our good intentions and belief that it couldn't happen, it's continued for 20 years. I just did want to make one point. And
sure.
First of all, the Second Amendment lovers, I really do not like guns, but I do respect people's right to own a gun. However, I do not see why we as a society can't have it. That the gun people have all the rights. They should have some responsibility. Keep your damn guns locked up. We've had several shootings where the children were able to get guns that should have been locked up.
Sandy
what
Hook?
Would be so horrible
Sandy Hook?
About? Yes, Parkland, what would be so horrible about, I'm sorry, not Parkland, this last one, he got his dad's guns, the one in Texas. Yep. What would be so horrible about a universal background check?
Right.
So I don't believe that the gun owners should have all of the rights and none of the responsibilities, because no matter what we say, when a deranged or upset or mentally whatever child is upset and they can get their hands on a gun so easily, we can see what happens. Therefore, you had a woman that called in, and I understand where she's coming from, get the bad kids out of the school. But people and lives are not disposable.
Well, what happens is, actually, to carry that out, because you're right, and she did say that, and many people feel that way. So here's what happens. What happens is the bad kids get out of the school and they get on the street, and then it really hits the fan, and then they end up in prison, and that's $35,000 a year if you just want to make it about money.
Or if we look at the Parkland kid, he was expelled, and he went back with a gun and killed 17.
He did, and he was.
That expelled kid could be the kid that goes to a theater or a mall. There just are so many ripples of this, and you hit the nail on the head. It comes down to kindness. Nobody feels it as much anymore, and that's not the answer. That's not what I'm saying. I know this is a complicated problem. But we have to understand that our troubled kids are not disposable. And as afraid as we are of the damage they can do, just because you throw them out of the school doesn't mean they won't hurt you or your children someplace else. And therefore, I don't know the answer.
Well,
I don't
understand. And at a real basic level, my dear, if you throw them out of the school, they don't get an education, then they don't get
a job.
So forget about
it. And then where does their life go?
Well, sure.
And Marty, what I can't understand, and you're much smarter and much more connected than me, is I just cannot understand if there was a stop sign in your neighborhood or mine or an intersection where, you know, this many people had been killed, we would have done something because we would have gotten the right people together. Can't we get doctors and therapists and pro-gun and anti-gun? I don't know anymore. All I know is that we've got to try. And you're absolutely right that the first place we have to try is right on the local level. And again, I don't know what that is, Marty.
Well, you're right on all counts, and you're wonderful. But here's the issue, my friend, and it's real basic. So on one side of the fence, you have Oliver North, and you have the lieutenant governor of Texas who says, you know what, there's just too many exits to the school, and we need to give all the teachers guns. And on the other side, we have folks who say you have to destroy all their guns, and they throw spit wads at each other. And this conversation has been going on for 20 years, and so there is no middle ground. There just isn't. And unfortunately,
that's
the way it continues.
And that's why it's so scary.
Yeah.
Because you people that are willing to be reasonable, even people like myself I feel like, hey, if you want to have a gun, have a gun. But meet me frickin' halfway, people. And they will not budge.
No,
and it's a very scary time.
It is.
I wish I had the solution. I wish to God I could bring all those kids back.
Yes.
Because every day that my kids were in school and college, please let them come home in one piece. And it's a terrible time to be young. And yet, people like you, you know, you're doing the right thing. Love your kids. Be there for your kids. You'll figure it out as a family. But think about those nice, good families who love their children and their kids went to school and somebody blew their head off. How can we ever as a society justify the killing of our babies? I'm sorry, Marty, don't mean to get
emotional. Oh, my gosh, you're wonderful. Don't apologize for being compassionate.
It's just such a confusing issue, and I just... Thank you. Thank you for doing this. I have the answer has to come from the little people, because the people in government, they're not going to help us.
Oh, no.
Take care.
It's a great, great phone call. Wow. Wow. What a beautiful thing. Thank you so much. I'm not lobbying gun folks anymore. I'm not. It's going to have to be on us, you know. I mean, it's 20 years of this. 20 years of the jargon, good guy with a gun crap, and armed teachers crap, and armed guards everywhere crap. And, you know, and I constantly pound this rhetoric into the pavement with facts, and nobody cares. I mean, I always say, where does it stop? Guns in church? I mean, there have been a significant number of church shootings. Does everyone in church get a gun? The priest, the pastor, the rabbi gets a gun? Really? How about malls? There have been a lot of shootings at malls. Restaurants, significant number of shootings at restaurants. Businesses, Does everybody, do we all get a gun at the door? No, really, where does it end? Well, it never ends. I mean, and then, and the always the comeback is, yeah, we need more mental health treatment. Yeah, we do, but most folks, most, do a little research on your own. With severe mental illness, and there's 7 to 10 million Americans and kind of fit into that category, most of those folks are more of a danger to themselves than you or I would ever imagine. You know, it's just the rifle shot heard around the world. So rather than addressing this as adults and putting a total plan together to protect all of us from this madness and mass killings, what about hotels? What about the Las Vegas shooter? We're still trying to find out why he did it. So anecdotally, we'll get 4,000 pages of documents released out of Las Vegas, and they'll find one paragraph where it says, oh, yeah, the guy said he was angry at the IRS to one person in the last 4 years. Okay, that's why he did it. Next. You know, the guy loaded 60 guns on the luggage and killed everyone he could kill. Nobody wants to talk about controlling that at all, ever. It scares me about us. So I'm not going to fight that anymore. I got to reach that guy. You have to reach that guy. We have to reach that guy. We have to reach that gal before they get to that hotel room, before they get to that parking lot of that school, before they get to the church, before they get to the mall. That's all it's going to be. If you folks think it's going to be any better, I just don't see it. I'm not giving up. I'm just telling you the truth will set you free. More folks, their knee-jerk reaction is, I got to go out and get a gun for the old lady. I'm buying me an AR. I'm ready. I always say, ready for what? Guy called me a coward because I don't have an AR in my house. He called me a coward on the air. So if I'm a coward, okay. I guess if that's what designates a coward in today's rhetoric, so be it. But I just don't think it's a place for me to have an AR ready to go in case somebody surly comes to the door. If that makes me a coward. But that's the dialogue and that's the narrative. Rather than me saying, look, the best I can do is what I can do inside the walls of my house and in my neighborhood. Let's talk to my kids. Let me talk to my son. Let me talk to my daughters. What's up with your friends? You guys see any trouble kids? What can we do to make a difference before that kid, trouble kid, turns into a deranged mass shooter? And I know it's 1 in 1 million. Heck, it's 1 in 2 million. But it's happening at a record pace. And it's not just schools. So now we'll make it, let's turn schools into fortresses. Okay. Anybody thought about the next time they go to a movie? Mass shootings in movie theaters. Remember Batman? Where does it end? So are we to bring guns into movies? A guy called here one day and he said that when he goes into a restaurant, he sits down and he always faces the door with his gun. Really? That's the way to eat a meal? Really? That's the way we're going to live. You're going to face the door with a gun. It's a bad place for him to be in, for all of us to be in. Linda in Pittsburgh, good morning.
Good morning. A lot of what's been said I agree with in regards to my topic is in regards to the school and the kids getting bullied. I had a daughter bullied horribly. Mm. In our school district to the point that I had to take her out for her safety. Mm. She was mentally, verbally, and ended up sexually assaulted on the bus. And the other thing is a comment about, somebody said about two kids getting in a fight, and the one father was a lawyer, and that, you know, he was going to get off.
Right.
Well, I don't know what era that was or how long ago it was, but my daughter's father is a police officer. Mm. And I can tell you that when I was in school in the 70s, I didn't want the police officer to know I existed. I wasn't going, I didn't pick on anybody, but I surely wasn't going to go zero in on his kids.
What's the status of your daughter today, Linda? What's the status of your daughter today?
She is anxiety that I can't attacks. Oh. She has now been a cutter. Oh. She has been suicidal. Oh. She had no friends at an important age when you peers mean everything.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it snowballed.
Yes.
Twin girls who led a group of girls didn't like her, and they couldn't even say why. they went, you know, the guidance counselors talked to them and said, well, what's the problem? Well, she wears dresses. However, their older brother had a party at the house that the mother supplied alcohol for, and a neighbor called to complain. So when the police came, now you can't just say dump out the food.
Ma'am, I'm going to lose you to time, and I want to talk to you. Can you email me at mgriffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, mgriffin at kdka.com? Can you do that, please, Linda?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't want to lose the conversation. I don't want folks to think I'm cutting her off, but we run up against a wall here. And I appreciate everybody's input. Do what you can in your house, in your neighborhood, in your school. Don't go out and buy a gun.